Okay.
Testing. April 15th, Senate meeting to the front. Going to the right. Front right. Going towards the back. April 15th, Senate meeting. Now in the back. Going towards the left. All the way in the back. Now to the left. Senate meeting, April 15th. Now in session. Going to the front.
All right, let me try that, but I don't think that CC has such recording.
Okay.
Board members, on the call screen to order. The first item on the agenda is the minutes from our last meeting. Are there any changes in discussion for the minutes? Can I see this?
My name is misspelled. Under C, letter C, lowercase d, motion to amend resolution Stevens for the PH.
Jeff, you got that?
Oh, yeah. I so noted.
Any other changes? Okay, since there are no further changes, the minutes are approved as amended. That one change. Okay. Next on the agenda, the announcements is the search update on the presidential search. So, George Kane, you want to come speak to us?
He says this one works. Does it work?
It's supposed to.
No, okay.
Yeah, it does.
Good afternoon, everybody. I thought it would be a good idea for me to just tell you what I can tell you about an update on the presidential search. I can tell you that everything is going according to the timeline. The Regents Search Committee and the University Advisory Committee has been working a lot of hours, looking at a lot of resumes. And fortunately working very, very well together, I can tell you that. I've been very pleased with the way things have gone so far. A special shout out to all of the faculty members and students and administrative people from WestCon that have been on the search committee. We did a lot of work. Obviously, we could tell a lot of people put a lot of energy and a lot of time into reviewing the resumes. I think we have a wonderful list moving forward, and the process is continuing. I probably can't answer a lot of questions, but if there's anything that is of importance to you that I can answer, I'd be happy to do that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, so next we have the my president's report. I want to just discuss four different items, if I could. The first thing I want to address is decorum. That is, there have been a few times when in this assembly, folks have said things that were maybe a little derogatory toward other people in the room or outside the room. And what I want to ask is that in the future, we refrain from those kind of comments. So nothing's going to be pointing fingers at some group of people or insulting them, undermining them, or what have you. I want us to focus on just the issues, the resolutions, the topics, and not on individuals or groups. So I just want to say again, Let's follow decorum and not engage in those kinds of activities, both here and also outside on this campus. The second thing I want to mention was that there, as you know, back in December, I asked the Enrollment Management Committee to examine the question of pins on campus. And the committee struggled to produce a report, and in part because it was difficult to separate the PIN issue from the advisement issue more globally and from the registration issue more globally. So what I've done is asked, pulled the report from this committee, and we're going to assign it to the ad hoc advising and registration committee, which we're going to talk about later on in the new business. The third thing I want to talk about is an update on a Transform Steering Committee, which I'm a member of. And as you know from my emails, the committee met back in end of March, and there was some disagreement at that point as to what the actual charge of the committee should be. The faculty and staff thought it should be one thing, the administration for the system thought it should be something else. And so there was some discussion around that issue. I'm seeing updates from Patty and I last week, another one from me last week, again regarding what's happened with the steering committee. Since that first meeting, the faculty and staff members have met a couple times and are trying to develop a plan of our own as to what this committee should be doing in the future. President Gray said, go ahead, develop a plan, which we've done. We have an agenda, which we propose now for this next meeting on Friday. Our plan is not exactly the same plan that President Gray had in mind. What we've asked for is a temporary moratorium on initiatives and the opportunity as a steering committee, which is what we were supposed to be, to review each initiative and examine whether or not it should be implemented, and if so, how. So that's what's going to happen this coming Friday. There'll be a discussion around this issue and some related ones, and we'll see what happens. As you might imagine, it's been a pretty frustrating process. We actually thought that for the first time, we as a faculty and staff, really would have a chance to have input into Transform. So far, our hopes have been dashed, unfortunately. Which brings me to the next issue, which is the possibility of a no-confidence vote. So the CSU leadership has discussed this already, and just a resolution, which you all have a copy of now, that we're not going to propose today. But depending on what happens on Friday, and in the near future, we may ask the Senates, all four Senates, to endorse a resolution of confidence in both Gray and in Transform. So the draft you have today is just a draft. Take a look at it, share it with your colleagues, etc. And we'll introduce it next month if it's victims warrants at that time. And just one last thing. For our next meeting, we're going to have two meetings in May. One would be the meeting of the 2015-2016 Senate. That'll be brief, and we'll just elect the officers for next year. The second meeting will be of this Senate, and we'll meet for a longer period of time, I suspect, and we'll have a regular agenda and so on and so forth. So that's my report. And next we have a report from Patty O'Neill, who is our FEC representative.
Turns down.
Looks scary. It's a big one.
So the FAC had a special meeting this month, April 2nd. I was not able to attend because the traffic on 84 ambushed me. I know I sound like President Gray. I forgot to bring the directions to the meeting. And then when I got to lovely Bristol, I discovered there's lots of big dead zones, which prevented me from calling anyone to actually get to the meeting. So what I can tell you is that the FAC voted on a resolution that essentially asked President Gray to remove all of the initiatives from Transform and to allow the steering committee, the Transform Steering Committee that Dan is a member of, to evaluate all the removed initiatives and decide which ones should be put back in, which ones should be eliminated. Essentially the same thing we've been asking for months at this point. We have not, to my knowledge, received a response from President Gray about this resolution. But that's essentially what we did at the latest meeting. So, any questions?
Okay. Thank you very much. Next, we have a mystery announcement. We were asked repeatedly, so what's he going to talk about today? And now you get to find out. So, we have Dr. Bijan there, who was the president of the Senate for about 20 years. And is back with us for 2 minutes today.
Okay, so the Connecticut State University Conference of the American Association of University Professors is an organization which has membership from both public and private chapters in the state. We have UConn, UConn Health Center, CSUAUP, Fairfield, St. Joseph's, New Haven, and so forth. Those of you who have attended the annual spring meeting of the conference. Oh, yes, sorry. Thank you. Those of you who have attended the annual spring meeting of the conference would agree that it's a highly rewarding experience, elegant and inspiring. The flyer is in front of you, so I do not want to repeat what's in it. The conference Walter Brady Award for Advancement of Higher Education in Connecticut was established in 2007 in memory of long-term Connecticut College mathematics professor and a former president of the conference, Walter F. Brady, Jr., who left a legacy of principled activism on behalf of higher education and the common good. This is not an annual award. It is given only when the conference's executive committee identifies an individual whose service to higher education in our state is truly exceptional. In fact, in the past 8 years, it's been given only twice. Denise Murrell in 2007, who was a representative in the General Assembly and now the Secretary of State in Connecticut, and Gateway Community College President Dorsey Kendrick in 2011. I'm here to announce that the third recipient of this award will be President Jim Schmader. It will be presented to him at the annual spring meeting of the conference on Thursday, May 14th. I know we will agree that it is well deserved. So let's applaud. You did it already, but this is part of my speech, I gotta say. Finish the sentence. I wrote this sentence, I gotta read it. So let's applaud President Schmader for not only receiving the award, but for all the great work that he's done on our behalf in these past 10 years. Now you can do it. I invite all of you to come and join the celebration on May 14th. Thank you.
And thank you. And thank you, President Schmader. So next we have an update on the Ad Hoc E-Device Committee from Dr. Matt Devers.
Good afternoon. The E-Device Committee has designed two surveys to gauge faculty and students' attitudes towards and experiences with electronic devices in the classrooms. Due to a change in the student representative on the committee, we have held off on administering the student survey in order to give the Student Government Association more time to review the survey, provide suggestions, and potentially consider other methods of soliciting student input. The SGA has recently provided its feedback to me, and I expect the surveys to be administered shortly, next couple of days. Thank you.
Great. Are there any questions? No questions? Okay. Thank you very much. Next we have Dr. David Murrow to speak about the Ad Hoc Faculty Handbook Committee.
Thank you. Thank you. Can you all hear me? I can't hear me. So. The committee has met three times, and we have discussed the time frame for completion, number one. We suspect that it'll be sometime over the summer, and we have discussed ways that we can interact with each other over the summer, including Skype or comparable software. One of the things that we did was take a look at about 15 separate institutions and what they did for their faculty handbook. And the first thing that we want to do is to, and we will eventually propose a reorganization of our online handbook in a format that will be a little bit more user-friendly. Frostburg State University had a great format, and so it's going to revolve around the roles that faculty play. For example, they use faculty as instructor, and then faculty as employee, and faculty governance, et cetera, et cetera. So, and there will be some obvious areas that will not fall within that framework, and we'll have some rooms for those. But we felt that will help most people be able to find information on the web, however they're looking for it or whatever they're looking for. So that's one of the things that we are going to be proposing as we move forward. And that we now are in consulting with our individual departments and schools to see what changes faculty would like to see made to the faculty handbook. If there's something that's not being included that should be or excluded, we want to pick that up. And that's about it.
Questions? Yeah.
So are you asking us to tell our faculty about this and to provide suggestions, or is something that we can forward?
Yes, if you can go ahead and ask your faculty to send the committee members any comments they have. The members will be doing that as well. But just to make sure that we do that, that would be great.
So there's no survey or anything like that?
No.
Just informal?
Just informal.
Okay. Any questions?
Okay. I have one other one. Did you have...
Senator Schlick.
You suggested that the timeline is continuing through the summer. Do you think it will be done this summer?
Well, we hope so.
Okay. Thank
you. Jim, any more questions?
No.
Question is tough.
Thank you very much. I want to mention one more thing about the elections in May, which is that our current vice president will be on the, she's not listening to me at all, will be on the Senate next year, and so we'll be looking for a new officer, at least one new officer for the next academic year. So give us a thought between now and May, and we'll look for nominations for that, for all four spots, actually. Any other announcements? Okay, so why don't we move on to unfinished business. And the first thing on the agenda is the draft value statement that was produced last Senate meeting by Dr. Joan Palladino. And we ask that you take it back to your departments and get feedback and bring back feedback for us today.
Good afternoon, everyone. So I'm here to see if we had any feedback on it. I did receive maybe one email, which was very valuable, and our committee will be meeting in the next week or so to go over that feedback. But I'm here today to see if from your department you had any other feedback on the values that we had, you know, that's been posted and sent out.
So,
yes, thank you. Yesterday is in court of values as they stand right now. Thought we had a vote on that last week, in the past few days, just so you're aware.
Okay, that's good to hear. And just FYI, the feedback we got didn't significantly change them either. So it was pretty supportive, very, very minor. So that's good. Anybody else?
So do you want to share with us your changes, though?
I do. Okay.
So we can actually vote on this.
Okay. Sam, he sent me some. And they were very good. The first one, if you look under the statement, let me just find it, under engagement, we have excellence, curiosity, dialogue, engagement, opportunity, respect. Under the engagement, we say we value and cultivate the interactions with ideas, peers, community that are essential to a vibrant university environment. And the change that was suggested is to strike cultivate. Mainly because it's a value statement. We value the We value the interactions, basically, it would say then.
Is that the only change?
Nope. There's one other one. Let me just find it here. Under opportunity. Okay, presently reads, we value the possibilities created by affordable and accessible education that foster an environment where students can grow into independent thinkers and confident leaders. The changes suggested, and I believe there's two. One would say we value the possibilities available to our students who become independent thinkers and confident leaders. And then we value the environment where students can grow into independent thinkers and confident leaders, and we value that this environment is affordable and accessible. I mean, there's no change to the actual context. It's like you're saying the same thing, just different phrasing.
Can you read that last one more time?
I sure can. We value the environment where students can grow into independent thinkers and confident leaders, and we value that this environment is affordable and accessible.
To change. Is there an amendment? Is a motion to make that change? Make an amendment. I'm sorry.
But we have to say which one. I gave two different versions.
We can do both together. Or we could do separately.
No. What I mean is, I believe Sam. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but for the one that's opportunity, you gave me two suggestions for that one.
I sent them to the committee to.
To
digest, to ponder. What it looks like that opportunity line is addressing, when I read it, is that it values the possibilities. And I was trying to make what was valued be more specific that what one valued was the affordable accessible education, and that what one valued was the environment. It wasn't the possibilities that one valued, it was what was behind the possibilities. And I didn't propose, I wasn't necessarily proposing that, I was just going to set up some alternatives.
Alternatives, okay.
So do you want us to vote on the amended version then, or the existing version?
Well, I think the thought was, I thought we were going to take any changes that occurred, because there could have been more today, and the committee was going to, you know, look into them. That's what I thought was going to happen, so.
Are there any more changes in the discussion? Okay, so why don't we wait then, and let the committee go back, and then they'll come back in May, and then we'll vote on the revised value statement. Thank you. So next we have Dr. Patty O'Neill coming up to the podium one more time. She's always here at least, what, two times at a meeting? And she'll discuss the revised description of the ombudsman position, which we introduced at the last Senate meeting.
I just want to alert you to two changes that make it grammatical. In Part A, it currently reads, address concerns raised by AUP members, administrative faculty, and students about, and then on is going to be deleted, so it will be about appropriate issues that cannot be settled through normal channels, and then in order to will also be deleted, and the word and will be inserted. So it should read, address concerns raised by AUP members, administrative faculty, and students about appropriate issues that cannot be settled through normal channels, and work with the Office of the President to resolve such concerns.
So in the resolution on the table was the last one, and it says resolve that the University Senate endorse the revised description of the ombudsman position. So, is there any discussion, any questions, comments? Senator Robertson.
Yes, I brought this back to the chemistry department. And so one thing that they found, and the staffs were discussing it, is they would like to have the administrative faculty from, I think, the second paragraph removed from the document.
Can you explain why?
So what we were discussing is that it seems like it's carrying a possibility of having a conflict of interest for the purpose of the ombudsman.
Well, your colleagues may not be aware of this, but in the original position, administrative faculty were included, administrative faculty and student.
I don't think it's not in that first line. It was not there. That was added in this round.
I'm sorry, just to be clear, which paragraph are you talking about?
The second.
Where it begins the ombudsman?
Yep, the ombudsman. Member of either the AUP bargaining unit and the capital letters or the administrative faculty.
That doesn't change.
That was a change. That was added.
Well, we changed it. The committee changed it. And the committee consisted of, I was on it, a designee of the chapter president of SWOLF, which is the administrative faculty. Dan was on it. And I apologize to the other people, I'm forgetting there are other people on it too.
We have three former ombudsmen. Luke Geyer was there, Howard Russell was there, as was Edward Means.
I think the concern was the original version seemed odd that it would be an AUP member. It could only be an AUP member who could be the ombudsman. And so there was a strong agreement on the committee that it should be changed to reflect that it could be both either an AUP person or SWOLF person.
Okay. So then if you look in the new paragraph F, students who receive up to 3 load credits mm-hmm. reassign time for semesters, and then how would that work out?
They can they receive reassign time as well. Same as AUP faculty.
Actually, sorry.
That's not true.
They don't.
I was misinformed.
Point of clarification.
I was misinformed. But in any event, quite frankly, if a SWOF member is elected, it's AUP allows reassigned time. If a SWOF member is elected, it seems like something, perhaps I shouldn't be saying this, but something could be worked out that's equivalent to that. Or maybe not.
Don't say that.
I would say that.
It's just a concern that if that was it, really, that first paragraph is going to stay, then it's just what's our concern.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear what you said.
I'm sorry. So that's what our concern was. So if then paragraph 2, the administrative faculty is going to stay, mm-hmm. then that was the concern. But if we go back to the original original discussion, is that the faculty is concerned there is a conflict of interest? Yes.
Well, I guess my counter to that would be is if I were a SWOF member, mm-hmm. I would say, why can't we do this? What's so special about AUP? I mean, we are special, but I mean, it seems. I mean, SWOF members are members of the Senate, so.
Just to further clarify, so this position is allowed to bring issues that the administrative faculty have and work on those issues.
Right.
And so it's felt that if this person can actually represent them in terms of issues, concerns, or problems, why can't they also have somebody potentially in this position? Why are we forcing the admin faculty to have an AUP person represent them if there are issues or concerns? And that was the reason why the admin.
If we're going to go purely by definition, and this is not to sound bad, obviously it's not the faculty versus administration, that's not the dynamic that's set up, right? But the definition of an ombudsman, right, is to handle situations that are due to maladministration, right? So that is the definition of the ombudsman. So that's what I'm just.
Are you confusing administrative faculty with the administration or management?
Yes.
Administrative faculty are not management.
Yeah.
Okay. Administrative faculty are with financial aid, registrar's office.
Right. We understand that.
Okay.
Exactly. We definitely understand that.
Senator Bush, did you hear that?
I didn't hear that. Thank you.
So do you want to make an amendment then? You want to propose an amendment to change this?
Yes. So all I would do is I would just strike the word administrative faculty from the second paragraph and then leave the new paragraph F as is.
Okay. Is there a second to that motion? Senator Moser. Senator Fletcher.
So can you, I'm still not understanding the chemistry department's argument clearly enough to be able to vote in a way that makes sense to me on this issue right now. So can you explain a little bit more clear, anyway, exactly why the chemistry department doesn't believe that administrative faculty members should be an ombudsman.
Right, so we wouldn't ever want to put, I guess, the administrative faculty in an awkward position, right, that we would have to go, we had an issue, then we'd have to go to the administrative faculty, right, and put them in sort of an awkward position, because they work more closely, I guess, with the administration. I guess that's sort of what I would do.
I respectfully disagree. I don't know that they work any more closely with administration than faculty
right.
work with administration.
Right.
And secondly, this position is for situations that cannot be resolved by other methods.
Right.
And so I'm not going to say it's a last resort because I have some, never mind. I won't say it's a last resort, but it is an option when other methods have not been successful. And thirdly, I mean, the same situation that you're describing about there potentially being a conflict applies to administrative faculty. They may have a conflict with AUP and not want to approach the ombudsman who is an AUP person. So this, the same, you know, that same problem that you identified exists with the current position. It's just not AUP faculty who are faced with that kind of dilemma. Why not just, you know, dish the dilemma out equally?
So just to get some more clarification, the concern that you don't think they would do is because they would feel some unconscious pressure from their bosses to decide one way or another, they wouldn't give an impartial judgment in the situation?
Well, no, I wouldn't say that because I would hope they were all reasonable. Like, everything would be reasonable. I just think that, just getting back to definition, I think there would be a conflict of interest. So maybe I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Let me just clarify that the ombudsman does not actually make decisions, does not make judgments. Their role is to facilitate discussion among the parties involved. They have no power to make decisions. They're not arbitrators. They're just there to help resolve issues if they can.
So further the question, is the Tennessee Department concerned that as an ombudsman, you might have to ask questions if you don't like, and actually push to get answers. And if you do not have tenure, then this puts your job at potentially some risk. Is it that sort of concern?
Maybe not that sort of down that road. I would actually not say that. No, that's not good. I just don't want to put it on. So there is an aspect of that. But I'm just saying, I don't think I'll go as far.
Okay, so we have a motion to amend on the table. Senator Stevens?
Can I just clarify something?
Sure.
Similar to faculty having tenure, administrative faculty have something very similar in continuing appointment that we stand to lose if we possibly push the envelope, ask questions that are maybe uncomfortable. So no different than faculty, do we have a similar experience? Or the potential for that experience, rather.
And the admin faculty member who might become the ombudsman should know this ahead of time, you think, and could choose
right.
to take the risks or not take the risks. This is a voluntary position. Okay, so we have a motion on the table, which is to strike the word administrative faculty from clause A. It's been seconded. And we have a vote. All those in favor of this amendment, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Nay?
No?
Okay, so the amendment fails. And we have a second amendment, actually, that Patty mentioned, which is changing a couple of the words in that same paragraph. And we should have a motion to actually approve that amendment as well. We have a motion, please.
Motion.
Okay, second? Seconding. And this change would be removing the word on from the second line in section A. Replacing in order to with the word and. Is there any discussion about this amendment? Okay, let's have a vote on the amendment then. All those in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Okay, the motion passes. The just amended. So now we're back on the main motion itself, which is the actual description. Is there any other discussion, questions, comments on the script itself? Okay, here now let's proceed to a vote. All those in favor of this description revision, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, the motion carries. We have a new description. Thank you, Dr. O'Neill. Is there any other unfinished business? Okay, hearing none. Let's go on to new business then. And the first item is a proposal to change the admission criteria for the nursing program. And Dr. Joan Palladino will address this as well.
Hello. Before you have the change to our admission policy for our
master's program. It's a master's program in nursing for adult gerontological nurse practitioner or adult gerontological clinical nurse specialist. A lot of changes have occurred in this field. Many of you must know nurse practitioners can now be independent practice. And the other changes is our enrollment is increasing rapidly. So we used to do rolling admissions, and pretty much you apply, you get in. The other thing is the nurse practitioner role has changed. So the first change that was suggested by our coordinator, Dr. Halloran, is change the MS admissions requirements to state that the applicants must have at least 2 years of clinical practice prior to entry into the master's program. We feel this is a very important change because of what these nurse practitioners will be doing, especially with the independent practice. And really, the nurse practitioner role is to build on what their experiences are as registered nurses. So that is our first change. And we do have the rationale there, too. We also are looking at clinical sites and being more selective. That's getting more and more difficult. The second change is remove the rolling admissions and institute a hard date by which admissions must be received for both fall and spring admissions. We have a unique program in the sense that it goes the six different semesters. So sometimes our cohorts start in the fall, sometimes the spring. That's why we want the two hard dates, depending on which cohort is coming up. And this will give us better planning, because it's very hard to plan when all of a sudden, two for the semester, we have 10 more admissions coming in. And it also, you know, gives us better control on who is coming into our program.
We have a motion to approve, please. Jeff, would you like to approve?
Resolved that the University Center approves the proposal to change the admission committee requirements for MS admission voting.
Is there any discussion? Dr. Sunday Moser.
Change number two, third to the last word in the first line. Don't you mean that applications must be received, not admissions must be received?
Yes.
Any other comments? Since it's a policy issue, we need to wait until the May meeting to actually vote on it. So thank you, Dr. Calderon.
Thank you.
The next item on the agenda is something I'll be talking about, and that is the resolution to approve a new ad hoc committee on advisement and registration. And as you're probably aware, there have been some questions raised recently, actually over the last several years, but more importantly, just this year, about whether or not system as we have it now works best for all of us involved, faculty, for students, et cetera. And is there a relationship between how we do advisement and how we do registration and student retention and student satisfaction? So as a result of some of these issues that came up, Dr. Gates and I developed this proposal for a new committee to look at these questions. And the committee, you have the charge in front of you. You have the proposed membership in front of you. And I need a motion to put this on the table, please.
Motion to approve.
You read those, please.
Resolved that the University of Senate form an ad hoc committee to review academic advisement and registration of students and make recommendations to improve these system processes.
Is there a second? Seconded. Is there any discussion? Senator Olney.
Would I be able to make a statement of support for this committee?
Certainly. In fact, please do.
Okay. So, obviously, no, I support this. Basically, I just want to make the statement to have you guys an understanding of why this committee is necessary. On behalf of the WCSU student body and the SGA, I am here as a representative. It is my charge and role to ensure that the student body is getting the best higher education experience they possibly can from this institution. The reason the Academic Advisement Ad Hoc Committee has been created is to ensure that there is a forum for collaboration that includes faculty, staff, and students. This committee is a forum where all parties will be able to share their recommendations regarding this topic and generate solutions. This course of action stems from the circulation of the student petition. The petition encompasses numerous issues that WC is currently facing. What I will focus on is the necessary reevaluation and implementation of a new academic advisement process. The petition was available to all members of the WCSU community to read and either endorse or not endorse. The petition was signed by exactly 800 students, And with four-year graduation rates at Western at an all-time low of only 16% and the average number of students we lose on a semester-to-semester basis at a rate of 10%, it is time for WCSU to recognize that change is necessary. The academic advisor process is only the first piece of a much larger movement that needs to occur on this campus. At this point, I believe the WCSU community must join forces to counteract the crises that are at our doorstep, whether it be financial, retention, and so forth. This can be accomplished through faculty, staff, and student shared governance. Shared governance is necessary in order to get through these times of uncertainty in order to collaboratively come up with solutions to our institution's problems. I firmly believe that the formation of the University Senate ad hoc committees like course scheduling and academic advisement will give WCSU the opportunity to be a successful institution and support our good reputation. In order for the work in these ad hoc committees and standing committees to be successful, the committees need to generate initiatives related to our enrollment issues. These committees should then come up with a list of recommendations and initiatives and inform an executable plan by the end of the summer. I know that by taking this course of action as a community, the issues we are currently facing will diminish and the members of the WCSU community will be positively impacted.
Thank you, Salonia. Are there any other comments, questions, discussion about this resolution? Senator Cheney.
Is there already a retention committee? And is there an enrollment committee? Or are those two committees non-existent? And if they are existent, how do you keep the chargers from stepping on each other?
There is no existing retention per se committee. Dr. Gates created an ad hoc faculty student pension task force recently, which is working on its own, doing its own work in this regard. There is also the enrollment management committee, but again, that committee has struggled to work on this issue in and of itself, and so we decided to do it in a different way. And so we'll have to be careful that we don't mix up their missions to be sure. But we'll ask that this committee be given priority in making those decisions moving forward. It's just to make those recommendations moving forward. They won't make decisions, we will. Any other questions or comments? Senator Shaw.
I would like to make an amendment to one of the sentences on the committee's charges, item number two, the last sentence. I have amended it to read, recommendations for improvements will be based on sound academic principles, available research, and customer/student service efficiencies. And I think that better speaks to the retention and satisfaction that you mentioned.
Can you just say those again? So
sure.
Can you bring me a copy?
I can.
That's even easier. So Jeff, can you read for us the amendment?
Okay, so the amendment is underneath the section called the committee's charge will be, and we're talking about item number two, replacing the last sentence with recommendations for improvements will be based on sound academic principles, comma, available research, and customer/student service efficiencies.
Okay, so we have a memo on the floor. Is there a second? Okay, we have a second. Is there discussion about the amendment itself? Senator Murray.
Now, there's an IT person who might tell us on the committee that's not a good idea, but in terms of an efficiency, that's sort of what my mind went to.
One of the things...
Can you speak a little louder?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I can barely hear you up here.
How do we demonstrate the effectiveness of stuff? Let's say that this committee, but giving an example, having a two-day schedule, where did we get that? 3 years ago, somebody remember?
2012.
2012, okay. 3 years ago, it was decided we would have a two-day class schedule instead of the Monday, Wednesday, Friday, overall. Because I believe at the time, 80% of students wanted it. Now, apparently, that is an outmoded efficiency.
Sure.
So how do we, have this committee stand in perpetuity? I don't understand how this works.
Yeah, I think that the reason that this committee got brought up in the first place is because we've been standing in perpetuity, to use your word. So I think that's true. I think that we constantly have to be reviewing our customer service or retention issues and how do we make improvements. And I think that we look, in terms of answering the question about measuring it, I think that we use, just like you do with your academic principles, you have to look at what is available to us and what efficiencies are you trying to address. And I think that that should be part of the charge of the committee. What sound academic principles are we addressing? What kinds of efficiencies? I think you narrow that down as a committee. But in general, in terms of your ad hoc document, I think it makes sense to say that I'm assuming the improvements that we want to make are related to our retention. That speaks to customer service response.
Just to clarify, this committee will not be looking at scheduling. Senator Murray, that's the other committee. So the question you're asking is a good question, but it should be addressed to the ad hoc committee on scheduling. It wouldn't be addressed by this committee itself.
I wasn't using it to address the committee. I was using it as an analogy.
Okay.
Because I'm trying to understand how we keep this current. And if this is an ad hoc committee, it's got a drop-dead date attached to it at some point. But it seems, if I heard you right, that this is going to continue in perpetuity because customer wants and efficiencies have to be constantly reevaluated. Just as students 3 years ago, 80% of the students wanted two-day school schedules, now they don't. So it's just an analogy, whatever we're going to do.
Senator Puccini, is your hand up?
No, you answered my question.
Senator Stevens.
If I could just speak to her last comment that we have to constantly change with what the customer wants, yes, that's exactly what we have to do. I mean, and in no other field, when you're providing a service that people are paying for, do you not consider doing that? And I think, yes, that is what we do. We constantly re-engineer what we're doing, look at what we're doing, how are we doing it, is it working, are the people that we are servicing happy with what we're doing, and if it's not, let's rethink what we do.
Senator Rosenthal.
I'm just going to share a little observation. For some of us, the word customer is really a flashpoint. So I think a lot of this argument is about the word customer. So I think, take it out or don't take it out, but part of the hostility in this discussion is about the use of the word customer. And if it gets taken out, you have a whole different ballgame. I'm just saying that, so I'm just letting you know.
I appreciate that. So
like, I bridle, terribly at the word. So it might be intentional, but just to let you know, and I know my department, who I will be acting for, freak out city. So I'm just sharing that with you.
Is that something that becomes a friendly amendment? Because I think I had a slash in mind. Is that friendly amendment
to
say?
Personally, yep. I will vote against something that says customer. Interested in representing the dinosaur views of my department. Yep. If you take out customer, I'm totally happy.
So just the word student is okay?
Students are why we're here.
Perfect.
To me, absolutely. If you say customer to me, all those old professor things come right out, and I'm not supporting it.
So the formality, the thing we're going to do is, there's an amendment on the table now with the word in it. And so there actually are no friendly amendments. It's sort of a myth. And so we actually need to vote on the amendment, and then we'll either vote for or against it, then we can change, we can propose a new amendment without the word, vote on that one, and vote on the resolution itself. How's that sound?
Yeah.
Okay, someone slipped.
Well, I would like to ask you to defend that wording before we vote on this. Why do you want...
I'm sorry, the word...
The way it's currently stated, I mean, you wrote it for a reason, so why do you want it that way?
When I think about my position here at the university for the past 20 years, I look at customer service. I say customer service because I happen to provide service not only for our students, but also for our faculty and also for our staff. So to me, it's a easy generic word that you're all customers to me in a different way. So that's why I have it in there as service. There's a potential to have an efficiency for our advisors. There's a potential to have an efficiency for the registrar's office. So that's why it struck me as appropriate.
So it sounds to me like you would rather just say customer.
But I would be fine if it says just student. Yeah. Okay. Either way. But student is more, in my mind, the student piece is the most important piece on the table.
Is there further discussion on this amendment?
Can I just ask a question why there's such a strong feeling or response to the word customer? Like, and maybe help the non-faculty people understand why that's like a bad word.
Senator Rosenthal.
We're going to have to go out. Let's go out, we'll get a drink, and like we'll talk about it. I it's a really long thing, and I feel like it's super, I know it's deeply dull for me, so it'll just turn into your own mind. So I'd love to make a time to talk about it, I think now I don't see that as productive.
It could be a 4-hour meeting, which none of us actually want.
One last question then. So if this gets defeated and you would like to repropose a different wording, would it be better meaning to say faculty, staff, and student service agencies?
Senator Slick, why don't we just address the amendment as it's written now, right. And then if you defeat it, we can propose a new amendment. How's that be?
Okay.
Is there any more discussion about the amendment as it stands right now? Okay, so can you read it to Sam, please?
Replace the last sentence under the committee's chart will be item number 2 with recommendations for improvements will be based on sound academic principles, available research, and customer/student service efficiencies.
Is there any further discussion on this amendment? Okay, let's take a vote. All those in favor of this amendment, please say aye. All those opposed?
Nay.
Okay, so the amendment fails. Now back to the original resolution. And Senator Slick, do you have an amendment by any chance?
I'd like to request an amendment that would read recommendations for improvements will be based on sound academic principles, available research, and faculty, staff, and student service efficiencies.
Second.
Okay, so we have an amendment on the table. Is there a discussion? Senator Murray.
What would be what does that mean?
You have to direct it to the person who does it. Thank you.
It's your amendment.
Deanna, I would like to defer to you. Could you answer the question for me, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
I think a possible, off the top of my head, a possible efficiency might be, I go back to the word systems here. So perhaps there's an improvement that we can make, whether it be in our existing student information system or whether it be use of another piece of additional software that would allow you to, when you're working with your students, find an appropriate course that meets a certain requirement in a more effective and efficient manner. So in other words, you could enter a quick search and find anything that meets that gen ed requirement or that gen ed competency or that kind of thing. I'm just throwing out an idea.
Senator Hawkins.
I thought it would help Deanna as an advisor. Perhaps the degree audit and banner could work.
Hey, that would be
sort of. That would
be so much. Senator Hawkins.
What would happen if these faculty efficiencies were demonstrated to be in conflict with the CBA?
I'm sure there would be challenges.
Yeah.
But let me just remind you, this committee is not setting policy. They're going to investigate alternatives, and we don't know yet what they're going to decide, right? So I think it's premature to worry too much on what they might start to say to us when they haven't even met yet. And so, and again, whatever they decide will come before this body before it's actually implemented as policy. Senator O'Brien.
Is it necessary to specify faculty, staff, and student if we're just looking for service efficiencies that would serve anybody? I mean, it seems like we're splitting hairs a lot here, and it may just be better to be more general.
I thought I had heard that Deanna had given us the entire group that could include, which were faculty, staff, and students. Are there other people, other groups of people that could be included in these deficiencies that are not listed?
I think there always could be. I just don't have one as an example off the top of my head. So I have no problem with word just mm-hmm. services.
I don't require it either.
17.
Since the focus is not just on academic advisement, it's also on the registration process, it might involve some third parties with financial aid. Just to answer Jeff's question. Mm-hmm.
So there's a memo on the table right now that Senator Schlick offered to us. Can you give to us again, please?
Recommendations for improvements will be based on sound academic principles, available research, and faculty, staff, and student service services.
Okay, so we'll move on. Just the amendment. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Aye.
Okay, the amendment fails. So now we're back on to the original resolution. Is there any further discussion? Because now it's back to the way it was worded originally. There are no amendments. Senator Schaub.
Yes, so when I make the amendment, Jeff, if you'd be so kind as you have my piece of paper to read it back with just the word services.
Recommendations for improvements will be based on sound academic principles, available research, and service efficiencies.
Is that amendment seconded?
Seconded.
Is there discussion on this new amendment? Okay, why don't we go ahead and vote. Jeff, just one more time, please.
Recommendations for improvements will be based on sound academic principles, available research, and service efficiencies.
Okay, so why don't we take a vote on the amendment, then, to the resolution. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, so the resolution has been amended. So now, let's get back to the complete resolution with the amendment included. Is there a further discussion about the resolution itself as amended? Okay, why don't we take a vote on Senator Stevens?
Can I just ask a question? Is there any particular reason why the one representative from ITI is not voting? I'm just curious. What was the rationale behind that?
The rationale was simply that the issues here are more substantive rather than process-based. And why not the primary focus?
But if we come up with recommendations, they have to be executed. And I'd imagine in this day and age of technology, we would need something involving technology. So why would we have a member who would not be able to vote on a committee? Or
person's advisor as an advisory role in the committee. That was the way that we so much. Any further discussion? Okay, why don't we vote on the resolution as amended? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, so the resolution as amended passes. Thank you. Next on the new business, we have some reports that were submitted to the Senate. Those were sent out to you. I did not ask the reporters to come to us today because in the past they come and they're never asked any questions. So I didn't want to waste their time and have them come here for no purpose at all. If you have questions, please address them to the person who wrote the report, and he or she can answer them for you at that time. Is there any other new business? Okay, the Senate's adjourned. Thank you.